Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Joining us now on the HR&P guest line, Mike Lefko, does radio in Seattle, works for the flagship who carries the Mariners game. Dear friend, an old friend. Mike, thanks for making a few minutes out of your busy day to give us the Seattle perspective of the goings-on between the Astros and the Mariners. Apparently a new rivalry in the American League West. Mike, what's the Seattle perspective? How are they feeling after one yesterday's win? I'm sure they're feeling very good. But then also the brouhaha that happened there in the ninth.
Well, Jeremy, I did not know you to be so fired up when we were doing some USF and UH baseball. So I'm glad to hear this fire. Glad to hear this fire out of you. I know you've been calling it a brouhaha. Can we call it that?
Oh,
yeah. It was a sprint and stand around, right? there was some heated emotion, but I don't know if it was a full on brouhaha. It's a rivalry. I think it's a fun budding rivalry, certainly from the perspective of the Mariners. And I was listening to you guys just start the show, and I know that from the Astros' perspective, you're going to be dismissive of that. But you know what? Why not? Why not embrace the rivalry? It makes the regular season fun. 162 games. I know it can drag. If it's not a rivalry, will we be talking on this Tuesday? Right? It's just a normal game. But I think you embrace the rivalry, and look what you get out of it.
But, Mike, don't you think that this was service-induced? Don't you think because, I mean, you live it every day. And after the great season that the Mariners had last year and it just kind of faded a little bit at the end, the hopes were that this was a team that was definitely on the come up and that they should be, in a lot of people's minds, you know, a playoff team. And the fact that they've gotten off to a slow start, and look, it's not just the Mariners. The Astros got off to a slow start. Lots of teams got off to a slow start. But it seemed like this was a jump start movement from Scott Service to try and get his team to try to pick it up and take it up a notch.
Well, I think you're going to look at it from the perspective of the Astros, certainly, and the Mariners are going to look at it from the perspective of the Mariners. But when you take into account that a manager needs to protect his players, and what Scott Service saw is Ty France, who's been their best hitter all year, getting hit for the 12th time this season, he's going to try to protect him. And I know the players came out and they had calmer heads afterwards, but in the heat of the moment, Scott Service is going to protect his player, and then the Astros, as they should, they're going to protect their player. So it takes two sides to instigate the old brouhaha. I don't know if you can fully put that on Scott Service. Was he the one that began yelling? Yes, but it takes two sides to run out there and escalate. So it was Scott Service who started yelling, certainly. But I don't know if it escalates beyond that, if the Astros don't protect their player and if Scott Service, to begin with, is not protecting Ty France, because you take a look and he's hit for the 12th time this year. So naturally, as a manager, you need to protect your players.
No, I think that's a good perspective. Mike Lefko of KIRO, flagship there in Seattle of the Mariners. You're going to look at it from certain perspectives. And we played the calls of both TV broadcasts yesterday, mm-hmm. and you can right. hear the differences between the two. And that's natural. That's going to happen. And I don't even necessarily blame Scott Service for wanting to create this to be, you know, a rivalry or a big series for Seattle, because it needs to be. I mean, the Astros have been the top dog in the American League West for some time. The Mariners are on the up and up. I think that they've probably have had a 55-game start that they're a little disappointed in, 25-30. But still, they want to be up there with the Astros. They want to ultimately be the champion of the American League West. And if you're going to do that, you're going to need to beat the Astros. So I'm okay with Service having that mentality. I'm okay with Service being able to back up his player, too, because that is the job of a manager, is to protect your players. So I have no problem with that as well. And to your point about the Astros, it takes two to tango. Yes, admittedly it does. The Astros obviously were upset that Scott Service was yelling at their player. And you're right. Scott Service was obviously upset that his dude got hit again.
Well, guys, isn't it more fun when we can talk about this instead of just a routine 7-4 win? I mean, are we devoting this much attention in the middle of the summer to game 55 if it's a 7-4 game and it's a slow sports time? So from a fan perspective and from guys here, you, me, and all of us that talk about sports for 3 to 4 hours a day, I like it. I mean, I think it's great that we have this to dive into.
Mike, is it? I mean, we were talking about the rivalry. You said you were listening. But to me, it's like the Mariners. Is it safe to say the Mariners' number one rival is the Astros?
Right now, yeah. And the thing with the Mariners is they don't have a rival. Geographically, they're isolated. I mean, it's a long way up here, and I learned that when I moved out here to Seattle. It's a long way to go to get here. I mean, I moved from Texas, so driving all the way up to Seattle took a good 33 hours. So it's up here, it's isolated, and the fact that there is no baseball team that is naturally close, you're going to look at the division. And because the Astros have been the class of the division for so long, because that is the team you have to unseat, and yes, you take the whole cheating factor into account, which Mariners fans certainly don't let the Astros forget when they come here to T-Mobile. So you build all that, and the fact that you're trying to unseat the team that has been at the top of the division for so long, that is the rival for the Mariners. And for the Astros, it might not be. But you know what? If you don't really have a rival, and I know you guys can attest to this better than I could, it doesn't seem like the Astros have a true regular season rival. I know the Yankees in the postseason have been the team, but over the course of a long season, these division teams are the ones you see the most. Mm-hmm. So if this can build something up over the course of the season, from the Mariners' perspective, certainly it's going to be more on that side. But hey, the Astros, I'm sure there's some extra motivation now for them as well going forward through the rest of the series and the rest of the season. They're going to play a lot more the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a good point with you're playing your division foes more often than any other with the imbalanced schedule. And look, Dusty Baker admitted after the game himself that there's something there. It started last year. Brooks Raley intentionally hitting a Mariner got a suspension. It has carried over to this season as well. So obviously there's some bad blood there. There's some boiling blood between the two of them. I want to get your perspective on the Mariners. I'll be honest with you, Mike. I didn't expect much from the Mariners coming into the season. I understand that was an unpopular take. I thought they were a bit lucky last year, won a lot of close games. I bet the under on them. Willing to admit that. I took to the under on their win total. So far through 55 games. Look, they're playing better lately. They won 7 of their last 10, won back-to-back games. 25-30 now on the season, though. First 55 games. What's the reaction in Seattle about the Mariners?
Yeah, there's some angst and some building frustration because patience runs out when you haven't made the postseason in 20 years. And when after the surge last year to end the season, the expectation was, okay, you're there. Because you were so close, you put some pieces in place, and all of a sudden, boom, like that, it happens. Now, we know that logically it's not that easy, and they were extremely lucky last year. 33-19 in one-run games. The bullpen was absurd. They had a really good injury luck in terms of Mitch Haniger staying healthy, which hasn't been the case this year. So they have underperformed, certainly based on, I think, fan expectation and the expectations that Jerry Dipoto laid out last year at the end of the season when he said, We're going to go for it. This is it. 2022 is the year. It's still a long way to go, and they have been very unlucky injury-wise this season. So it's all kind of come back around when you haven't had Kyle Lewis. Mitch Haniger has barely been in the lineup. So they're perhaps performing back to more realistic expectations, but not the expectations of how you ended 2021.
Well, and Mike, you look at it from a couple, and I was going to mention Dipoto because there's, you know, he had done a lot to try and, you know, reconstruct this team, and we know about rebuilds here with our other two sports franchises in this town, and we know that that can be a hell of a challenge. But the fact that it seemed like for all the things that were going right, and you mentioned, you know, there was a little luck sprinkled in as well, but then they basically just give Kendall Graveman to the Astros when they needed him, but it seemed like the M's might have needed him just as much, and that kind of like sent a message not only through the clubhouse but to the fan base of what are we doing. And why would we do something like this? Then in the offseason, you know, you go and get Robbie Ray, but did you overpay because he's a Cy Young Award winner? And you watch him last night and go, obviously he didn't have his best stuff last night, but was it too soon to make that kind of a commitment with that kind of money towards a guy like that when the rest of the team is playing catch-up? What are your thoughts on that with Dipoto and just how it all went down?
Well, so the Graveman thing, extremely unpopular at the time, but in the long term, it looks like that was the right move because they weren't going to get him back. They weren't going to re-sign him, as we saw. I mean, he's going to walk in and go to a new team. And so to get a controllable player in Abraham Toro, they liked the long-term potential of that. And Paul Sewald and Casey Sadler had come on so well, and they were lights out for the rest of the season. So in the short term, very unpopular. Long term, it looks like it paid off. And if you want to sum it up through the minute sample size of Abraham Toro hitting that grand slam off Kendall Graveman, then yeah, Mariners won the trade. But yeah, Sorry to bring that up. But yeah, that's okay. I mean, the Robbie Ray signing.
Don't let us bring up playoffs. It's okay.
Yeah. Right. I won't delve back into then Jeremy getting into fights with all of Mariners Twitter.
Yeah, Mike, so let me know when the Mariners are within single digits of the AL West.
I don't want to send you down that path anymore. I mean, that was quite an experience.
I enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you. I had a good time.
I honestly expected that more out of our good friend Paul Gallant.
Well, Paul introduced me. Paul's the one who introduced me to the Seattle fan base yesterday, indirectly. Although maybe it was direct. I don't know.
There we go. Yeah, but then with Robbie Ray, the fact is that you have to overpay if you're the Mariners because it is a tough sell. They're so far out here, all the way up the very far remote corner of the country because you have to travel so much. Even in the division, you're traveling two time zones when you're playing Houston and when you're playing Texas, and that's a lot of travel. And they're in the midst of another long 9-game road trip that started on the East Coast. So it's almost an unpopular destination for that perspective, and some players have said that. And then because of the lack of postseason success, you have to overpay if you're going to get a guy like Robbie Ray. And they were banking on that Cy Young production. That hasn't happened so far. But I think what really has hurt them in terms of not living up to expectations yet in 2022 is that they built around the expectation that the young prospects would deliver. And Julio Rodriguez has maybe exceeded all those expectations, but Jared Kelnick was supposed to be such a key part of this lineup. And he was supposed to be ready, especially after a good surge to end last year. He was your right fielder or left fielder. They were going to have him somewhere in the corner outfield, probably left field because of Haniger. But he was a guy that was going to be a stable piece of this lineup, and now he's down in the minors again. So that really crippled what they've been trying to build as well.
Mike, I appreciate you coming on. I'm glad we had the look from the Seattle perspective. Continue the great work. You know I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, Jeremy, just please let Joel know and everyone else know we're not enemies. See, we can have some rational talk here between Mariners and Houston fans, and hopefully I change your opinion of Seattle a little bit.
Mike, don't hate the Pacific Northwest. I lived there for 4 years. Portland, Seattle, it's a beautiful country.
Yeah, it's 75 degrees right now. Come visit in the summer, you'll have a great time.
The best thing is the overpriced coffee and the fish on the market, right?
And the rain instead of snow all winter long.
Mike, I know you got a show to prep for. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up again down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Mike Lefko does some work in Seattle, works for the flagship there for the Seattle Mariners. Take a peek behind the enemy lines.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.